You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Topic: An Introduction to Song of Songs Series. Document title: The Student Travels. The Student Travels. It seems to me that time is going really fast, isn't it? We looked forward with a lot of anticipation to Christmas, and now we are already looking back at it by a couple of weeks. Besides that, we are also looking forward to family who are coming to visit around March. But then, when you are waiting for a status to change on an application, it feels like days are weeks and weeks are months. It seems to me that this has everything to do with where our focus and attention are. What do you think? In the same way, it is also like this when you have had some thoughts that just are not coming up. I had it completely ready, the text for today, the topic, the key points, and it kept on going through my head. It just didn't leave me alone. Then, now, when it is time to write it all down. Yes, right. Where is it now? How do you get to that point where you want to be? I believe that might indeed be the right question. If you want to go and visit London, what do you do? Are you reading the brochures? Do you check out the hotel prices? Which hotel can we afford, and which one is a bedbug in? From the airport, subway, taxi cab, or car rental? Go to a travel agency, or do some more research? What really surprises me is that for so many things we do, we research, buy or borrow books, and ask for advice. We prepare and prepare to make sure that our time off will be the best possible. But for the most important decision of all, we often do not do that at all. Which church and which teachings are going to be the ones where I feel at home and which have the most to offer me for my spiritual well-being? How many people associate going to church with being a Christian is just shocking. For months now, I have been working and preparing for my employer a way to get a job done. So many times, I felt really disappointed because I just could not wrap my head around it, why it didn't work, and why I did not get it done. Then suddenly, everything comes together, and all the little failures are not failures at all. They are simply the knowledge of how not to do things. Thomas Edison tried and failed nearly 1,000 times to develop the carbonized cotton thread filament for the incandescent light bulb. When asked about it, he said, "I didn't fail. I found out 999 ways how not to make a light bulb." But he only needed to find one way to make it work. National treasure. I really do not know how to ask it nicely, but how do you think you can find God when you are not seeking Him out? How can it be that you say you know the Word of God and you have never truly participated in a Bible study? How is it that you say you know the truth, that you understand, but you still have not received the Holy Spirit who provides these things? You know, even Jesus, the one who was fully man and fully God, received this one important spirit. The prophet Isaiah said about him in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, complete Jewish Bible. "But a branch will emerge from the trunk of Yishai, Jesse. A shoot will grow from his roots. The spirit of Adonai will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge and fearing Adonai. He will be inspired by fearing Adonai. He will not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but he will judge the impoverished justly. He will decide fairly for the humble of the land. He will strike the land with a rod from his mouth and slay the wicked with a breath from his lips. Justice will be the belt around his waist, faithfulness the sash around his hips. It is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that is upon him. In Hebrew, this word for spirit is the same as the word for wind or for breath. This word is ruach. Words that you hear are heard due to vibrations upon your eardrum. Those vibrations are transferred by moving air or wind. When I'm in outer space and there is no air, I can move my mouth, lips, tongue, and vocal cords, but you will not hear a word I am saying. In this way, it is the Spirit of God, the Holy HaKodesh Spirit, who was and still is providing the Word of God upon those who are willing to hear and listen, those who are willing to receive. When we read the Old Testament, we read many times the Word. This Word is Jesus the Messiah. John chapter 1, verse 14, Amplified Bible. And the Word, Christ, became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us. And we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. In the beginning, the words from the first two verses of the book of Genesis start like this. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, Common English Bible. World's creation in 7 days. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form, it was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind, Ruach, swept over the waters. God said, "Let there be light." And so, light appeared. God saw how good the light was. God separated the light from the darkness. God named the light day and the darkness night. There was evening and there was morning, the first day. Emphasis mine. Here we have that important instance. God spoke the word. The Spirit swept over the waters and it was done. God provided the action. The action was the word, and the execution of this word resulted in the forming of day and night by the wind, the Spirit, the breath of God. There we have only one God. This is the same breath as we read about in Isaiah chapter 11. If we want to enjoy the beautiful views of the mountain summit, we need to walk up to the goat trail and climb the mountain. If we want to enjoy the flowers, we are not able to stay above the tree line. We need to descend into the depth of the valley and go to the waterside and the fields. In anything we do, there is always travel involved. There is always a journey. This too is true with our spiritual life. Unfortunately, there are just so many who are satisfied with warming up the chair that they never see the beautiful views of the summit, or for that matter, never smell the flowers. To have a relationship with someone, we need to get to know this person. I can still hear us say, some years ago, "Oh man, I'm completely into this dude's music." Oh yes, I use the word dude. To get really into this artist and his music, you needed to completely immerse yourself into it, knowing all the song lyrics, knowing when they were recorded, and also what they truly meant, where they lived, whom they made out with, yes, all of it. Why do we not know that we need to be completely into this person called God? Immerse ourselves completely into his lyrics, the Holy Bible, and seek out everything that is there to know about him, who he truly is, and what is it about that his Spirit that is coming through each and everything continuously. What is that about his Son? We need to be completely immersed into him. The New Testament gives us a way to sit at the feet of the Master in the same way that the disciples were sitting at the feet of Jesus. In this coming year, we will be doing this a lot, sitting at the feet of Rabbi Yeshua. Jesus. During the last couple of weeks, we learned a lot about the commandments of God during our Sunday school classes, and one of these was concerning adultery. Let me open up to you a window of insight into what is to come for the next couple of weeks. God has provided us with a great manual to live. Unfortunately, so many still go to church without even bringing it with them. How are we able to take the road of life when we do not know which exits to take and which corners to turn? Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, Common English Bible. Freedom from the law. Brothers and sisters, I'm talking to you as people who know the law. Don't you know that the law has power over someone only as long as he or she lives? A married woman is united with her husband under the law while he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning her husband. So then, if she lives with another man while her husband is alive, she's committing adultery. But if her husband dies, she's free from the law, so she won't be committing adultery if she marries someone else. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you also died with respect to the law through the body of Christ, so that you could be united with someone else. You are united with the one who was raised from the dead, so that we can bear fruit for God. What is the Apostle Paul speaking about in this text? First, about husband and wife, and then about being dead to the law and being reunited with the one who was raised from the dead. In the next couple of weeks, I will be teaching and learning with you, holding to the teaching guidelines of Watchman Nee concerning the Song of Songs, or as some also call it, the Song of Solomon. In this, we will learn about a word picture that is also used in this text. Within the Song of Songs, we can interpret the woman as the individual believer, whether you are a man or woman. Watchman Nee's commentary specializes in this great explanation. Thus then, in this, we also see Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, in which it suddenly makes a whole lot of sense. Paul starts off by saying, "Brothers and sisters, I'm talking to you as people who know the law. Don't you know that the law has power over someone only as long as he or she lives?" Meaning that a law of men, any law of men, can only touch you and influence you when you are alive. A dumb example of this is that you will never get a speeding ticket in your casket on the way to your own funeral. Okay, but in this passage, the woman is the believer, you and me, as being married to sin prior to conversion. As the Apostle writes it in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, Common English Bible. Saved from sin to life. At one time you were like a dead person because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. You used to live like people of this world. You followed the rule of a destructive spiritual power. This is the spirit of disobedience to God's will that is now at work in persons whose lives are characterized by disobedience. And in that being married to sin, before our conversion, you are not allowed to be married to another man. To attempt to live a godly life while still married to her first husband would be spiritual adultery. The law of Moses establishes the requirement that the woman remains faithful to her husband. However, in Romans chapter 7, we learn that the woman's first husband dies. But if her husband dies, she's free from the law, so she won't be committing adultery if she marries someone else. This death of the old man, which is sin, corresponds to Messiah becoming sin for us and dying for us, instead of us dying a literal death ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Complete Jewish Bible. God made this sinless man, be a sin offering on our behalf, so that in union with him we might fully share in God's righteousness. The woman, which is the believer, you and me, is now free to remarry. Why is this the case, you might ask? This, my friends, is because of the death of the first husband, which was sin. That marriage is now void and null under the agreement of the law. So then, if the woman is free of the burden of the law to hold on to her first husband, to whom will she then be married? It says in verse 4, "You are united with the one who was raised from the dead, so that we can bear fruit for God." The one who was raised from the dead is Jesus the Messiah. And with that, because the first husband, sin, is dead, crucified at the cross, the second marriage is fully legitimate under this same law. Wow, that suddenly makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? As a son was in need to receive a blessing from the father, a daughter was automatically under the blessing of the father. When married, the daughter became the wife, and with that, automatically under the blessing of the husband. When that husband is sin, there is no blessing. Oh my! As the church is the bride and the groom is Jesus the Messiah, we fall under his blessing, and also with this under righteousness through our faith in him. Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24, Common English Bible. Before faith came, we were guarded under the law, locked up until faith that was coming would be revealed, so that the law became our custodian until Christ, so that we might be made righteous by faith. Before our faith in Messiah, we, the bride, needed to follow the law to walk in righteousness, and with that, we continuously failed. But now, because of our husband, Messiah, we are under his righteousness, and we are made righteous through him. What a great blessing he gives us. Do we still need to walk in the will of the Father? Yes, of course we do. Will it make us righteous? No, because we disappoint him so many times, being outside of his will so often. But glory to God. We have been made righteous through our marriage to Jesus, the Messiah. Thus, our righteousness is not under the law. Our salvation does not come from obedience to it. Our righteousness, and with that, our salvation, is and comes through our faith in and love of Jesus, the Messiah. What did it say again in that last verse? You are united with the one who was raised from the dead, so that we can bear fruit for God. So that we can bear fruit for God. The Bible also asks us, how do we recognize the bride? The bride is the one who is bearing the fruit for God. His fruit, the fruit of God, the fruit for God. What is this? As we have seen earlier, that God, Messiah, and the Holy Spirit are one, we know this fruit to be. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, Amplified Bible. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. This is how you recognize the bride. She gives these offerings to God: love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, restraint, and tolerance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Indeed, this is how the Christian is recognized. Recognized in the opposite of sin. In the opposite of sin. Because we have been delivered from the marriage bonds of sin through the death of it. Beloved, this student travels theme is not a cute illustration. It is the shape of discipleship. The kingdom does not run on vibes and slogans. It runs on covenant, devotion, and movement. When focus shifts, time feels different. When the heart turns toward Adonai, the soul begins to move again. That journey begins with seeking, not spectating. And that seeking is not empty effort. It is response to a real invitation. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, Tree of Life version says, "You will seek me and find me, when you will search for me with all your heart." When we seek with the whole heart, the Ruach HaKodesh meets us on the path, breath to breath, word to heart, until the scriptures stop being distant ink and become living speech inside us. As we enter Song of Songs together, hear this. The bride does not study love from a distance. She learns love by walking with the bridegroom. That is why Paul's picture in Romans lands so heavy. Sin was never a harmless roommate. Sin was a binding union that produced death. Messiah breaks that bond, and the new union produces fruit. Fruit that looks like him, sounds like him, and smells like holiness. So let this series be more than information. Let it be travel. Let it be ascent and descent, summit views and valley fragrance, until worship stops being chair warming and becomes communion. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, King James Version, says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." In that asking, seeking, and knocking, the bride learns the voice of the Beloved, and the Beloved's love reshapes everything. Next week, we will hear more about the love of God for the woman, being Israel and the church. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.